Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret. Today we begin our study in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 14, verse 27. This is our 23rd study in the book of Deuteronomy. And Father, I pray and ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we will study today. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 14:27. God is speaking to Israel before they enter into the promised land, and he says, "Do not neglect the Levites living in your towns, for they have no allotment or inheritance of their own." Now the Levites were the full-time ministers of the day. And God had been talking about a second yearly tithe, a second yearly 10% that was to be offered to him. But here he reminds the Israelites not to forget about the first tithe that went to the ministers. And so what God is saying here is take care of those who minister to your spiritual needs. Verse 28. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns. This is a third tithe, actually, which was brought every third year. And so when you add it all up and you average it out, the Israelites tithe 23 1/3% of their income every year. Now, that did not all go to their religion, and it certainly did not all go to the full-time ministers. The 23 1/3% supported the government, which, remember, was a theocracy. And so it covered the government's expenses, and it also covered the expenses of the religion. 29. So that the Levites, who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns, may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. In other words, this third year, third tithe, was part of God's poverty program for the nation Israel. And God says, if you take care of the less fortunate among you, I will bless you. And this was a law. I mean, God did not rely on the goodness of people's hearts. There was room for voluntary giving, as we will see in a few minutes, but this part of it, anyway, was written right into the law of God. Now, chapter 15, verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. Every seventh year was a Sabbath year of rest. But that seventh year was also something else. Every seventh year, all debt was canceled. Now, you may think that is a little crazy, a little out of the ordinary and kind of ridiculous, but there are people who know a lot about economics, and they have looked into this and come to the conclusion that it was a pretty good idea. Verse 2. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel the loan he has made to his fellow Israelite. He shall not require payment from his fellow Israelite or brother, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. If you made a loan, you had to give the borrower a release of his debt on the seventh year. Now, he could voluntarily pay his debt, but you could not make him pay that thing. And I guess, among other things, by this law, God was saying that the wealth of this world isn't worth worrying about. Eternity is so much more important than the things of this world. Verse 3. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your brother owes you. This law of forgiving debt applied only to God's people. The unsaved, they still had to pay their debt. They were not set free. And so I believe God is teaching a very important spiritual lesson here. He is teaching that those who belong to Him through faith, they are the only ones who have been forgiven their debt by Him, their sin debt by Him. And what an illustration this law is of that truth. Verse 4. However, there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, He will richly bless you. This law of debt cancellation was never designed to let wealthy people or greedy people who ran up a big debt to get out of paying it back. That was not the intent of this law at all. It was designed to help the poor who were unable to pay. But God says here, if you live for me, there will be years when you won't even have to use that law because I'm going to bless you so much. And that was the condition of financial, material blessings. For Israel, the condition was obedience. So notice verse 5. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today. In other words, Israel, if you follow me, there will not be any poor among you. Verse 6. For the Lord your God will bless you as He has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. And the same principle that was true for people on a personal level, that same principle applied on a national level. Obey God, Israel, and you won't have any physical need unmet. In fact, you'll borrow to every other nation who does not know me and does not serve me. And so, once again, the principle is this. God's way is the way of blessing. You do things right according to God, and He will bless you. Verse 7. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Have compassion, says God. If you are able to relieve someone's distress, then do it. Verse 8. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. In other words, you don't have to make the poor rich, and you don't have to fill their homes with all sorts of needless things. That's not what God is asking. God says, I would like you to give them what they need. Verse 9. God says, be careful not to harbor this wicked thought, and here it is. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards your needy brother and give him nothing. He may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. In other words, if the year of debt cancellation is near, and you figure the poor person will still be poor when it arrives, don't let that stop you from giving to him. God is saying, don't give in order to be repaid. Give in order to help. 10. God says, give generously to him, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. You know, if the guy is very poor and the year of debt release is near, well then, in essence, whatever you give him, that isn't really going to be a loan. It's going to be a gift, because he will never be able to repay you. However, God says, you give to him anyway, and I will repay you. Remember this, every gift to the poor is actually a loan to God. He will not forget your gifts. He will not give you, forget your gifts to ministries that get out His word. And He will not forget your gifts to the poor, because both of those things minister to Him. And it is true. Every gift to the poor, every gift given to the ministry, if it is legitimate, is actually a loan to God, and He will repay in some fashion and at some time. Verse 11. And it may not be this life. Verse 11. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. In other words, God says there will always be someone who needs your help. Give to them according to their needs and according to your ability. 12. If a fellow Hebrew, a man or a woman, is sold to you, and he serves you 6 years, in the seventh year, you must let him go free. If a man, an Israelite, fell into poverty, he could sell himself into indentured slavery. God did not, however, want a permanent class of Hebrew slaves among His people. And so at the end of the sixth year of service, the Hebrew slave was to be released. Verse 13. And when you release him, do not send him away empty-handed. If a man worked for a master for several years, it would be pretty much impossible for him to save anything for himself, because everything that he worked for was given to his master. And so, really, he would be released, but he would be back in slavery in a very short time, because he'd have no way to support himself. Verse 14, God says, supply him liberally from your stock, or from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to him as the Lord your God has blessed you. In other words, God instructs the former master to help get the former servant off to a good start in the world. Be generous, says God. As a parting bonus, bless him in proportion to how God has blessed you. Verse 15. And we will stop with this today. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. When God set the Israelites free from slavery down in Egypt, they were broke. They were paupers. They didn't have anything because they were slaves working for the Egyptians for nothing for years. But the Lord made sure that the Egyptians gave His people all sorts of valuables before they left Egypt, so that they could get off to a decent start as a free people. And now, God says, you do the same for your fellow Hebrew when you set him free from his indentured slavery. You make sure that he has enough to get a start. Be generous. Be kind. Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, this is Mike Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Until next time, so long, everyone.